Or Gedaliah Lekutei Diburim for Shvuas Osavav. Okay, B'Gemara Erevin Nun Dalet Amid Aleph. We start with an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mai Dichsiv Charos Al Haluchos. What does it mean when the Torah describes the Luchos as being engraved, as being carved? Says the Gemara, Ilmale Lo Nishtabru Luchos Harishonos Lo Nishtacha Torah Miyisrael. The luchos were engraved, the luchos were carved all the way through, etched out. That is to teach us that if not for the shviras haluchos, we never would have forgotten Torah. What does that mean? Rashi explains, cheirus mashma chakuk, right? Charus, well, we'll get to the drush of cheirus, but it means charus mashma chakuk. Charus means that which is engraved. And if you engrave something, if I carve something into stone, as opposed to writing it on paper, where it can be erased, if something is etched in, it's carved in, so then eino nimchak liolam, right? Then it's not able to be erased. Al yedei haluchos ha'isachakuka liyisrael. So Rashi explains again that the Luchos created a relationship with Torah where the Torah is not merely written, but that the Torah was etched, the Torah was engraved. And like something engraved cannot be erased, so too, had we not broken those first Luchos and lost the first Luchos, our connection to Torah would have been one of permanence. Right? We would learn and never forget. This, by the way, is what the Baal Tanya says on Umbuchukosai Telechu. B'chukosai, of course, chok means a law, chukim and mishpatim, but part of the idea is in b'chukosai telechu, the goal is that the Torah should be b'chukosai, should be etched into us, right? not just learnt on a surface level, where it can be erased, where it comes and goes, but it should be carved into the essence of our being. V'kvar bi'arnu la'el ki kamosha b'haluchos hayu hadibros chakukim, Me'ever al ever came b'nefashos b'nei Yisrael hayadibros chakukim b'levavam. Just like the luchos had the Dvar Hashem etched into it from one side to the other, the same thing is true when it comes to the souls of the Jewish people. The goal is to take the Torah and to carve it into ourselves, to mark ourselves in a deep way. V'yesh levar ki be'emes ma she'amru chazal she'be'es matan Torah hayecheirus mimalech hamaves. So now, says Rav Gedalia Shur, let's connect this to another Maimar Chazal. We know that Chorus, Chazal Darshan Cheirus, right? To be a Ben Chorin, to be a free person, you have to learn Torah. But Chazal say, at our Sinai, as we received the Luchos, which were Chorus, we achieved Cheirus. Cheirus from what? Cheirus from the Yetzihara, and Cheirus from the Malach HaMavis. I remind you from the Gemara Bava Basra that the Malach HaMavis and the Yetzihara is really one Malach. It's really one... It's two sides of the same coin. So Chazal say, at Matan Torah, we had freedom from death. Does freedom from death have anything to do with forgetting or remembering Torah? And the answer is yes, as we'll see. Kamo she'amru she'el malei chatu Yisrael be'egel lo hayu meisim. When the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, we achieved a level like Adam Kodem Achet, prior to the Gzeras Misa. And therefore, if not for Chet Egel, we never would have died. As the Pasuk says, as David HaMelech says, I think it's Tehillim Pei Beis, Ani Amarti Elohim Atem. You've become angelic. And if not for Chet HaEgel, you would live forever. The end of that series of Pesukim is Achein Ka'adam Temusun, right? Because you sinned, you'll die like Adam. Adam both like humans, but Adam the person who also ruined his opportunity to live forever. Hu inyan echad amasha amru kan, shayu lameidim v'lo hayu shoychechem. So this notion that we had reached a level where we were beyond death, and this notion that had we not sinned, the first luchos would have given us the ability to always remember our Torah, it would have been etched into us. So says Rav Gedalia Shur, we're going to see it's one and the same. That not dying and not forgetting are very, very deeply connected to one another. Okay? Ksiv. Avraham Zakin Baba Yamim. Let's see how that works. How do we understand the connection between Misa and Shichacha? How is forgetting a form of death? And how is remembering a connection to life? It's very important, Yisod. Avram Zokin Baba Yamim. We know that Avram was old and he came with his days, and Chazal explain, what does it mean to come with your days? Shabbaim Kola Yamim Shalom. That Avram came with all of his days were accounted for. Shehevi imo kol ha'aros shahayelo b'chol yom davar miyuchar. Avram Avinu made the most of every day. Every day has a particular task, and each day he fulfilled. He brought the illumination from that particular day. He lit up that day. There was no dark days. Every day was a purposeful day. Shekol rega v'rega yesh la'adam ha'aram miyuchedes. Because every moment of our life, we have a unique ha'ara. We have a unique opportunity to, so to speak, light up that moment. V'yesh lo tafkin miyuchad. We have our general, we have our collective mission statement as Jews. We have our specific tafkid as individuals. But then we can subdivide it into the moments of our life. So right now, at this time, on a Wednesday morning, right, at approximately, what time is it? At approximately 10:38, right? Hopefully we're fulfilling our tafkid and giving illumination to this moment by what? By learning Torah. And that's how we achieve our goal in this world. V'tzarecha adam l'shtamesh ba'osu ha'regel l'tachliso. So again, the avoda is to use the moment for its purpose. U'kishe ein hu mishtamesh ba'osu ha'regel, ein be'efsharut l'takin es ma'shalo osa osu ha'regel. And if, God forbid, I let that moment go by, I have the opportunity to do a mitzvah. I have the opportunity to do something purposeful. And I squander the moment, and I turn down the offer. Hashem offers me a mitzvah, and I say, thanks but no thanks. So unfortunately, that moment on a certain level has been lost forever. Of course, tshuva allows us to rewrite the script. Tshuva is this unbelievable ability. That's why tshuva was created prior to creation. It transcends time, because tshuva allows me to go back in time and to rework time, which is an amazing thing. But b'derech hapshat, b'derech hateva, if this moment is not spent in a meaningful way, it's never coming back. This is a unique moment in history, which is such a powerful idea to think about. Such a strong idea, no? The thing, that there's never going to be a Wednesday morning on the 41st day of the Omer, the art site, there's going to be this moment where these people in this place at this time are learning this piece of Torah. So to the degree that I make myself present, I capture this moment. We know it says in Pirkei Avos, "Im lo achshav emasai." If not now, when? Right? Seize the day, seize the moment. The Chiddush Erim explained it in this very dramatic fashion, but again, not dramatic in a very honest and true, right? But dramatic if you think about it, intense if you think about it. She'im lo yishtamish ba'achshav. If I don't use this moment, this achshav, if I squander this moment, achshav hazeh emasai. Right, then this moment, when will it be? So you'll say, if you don't learn Torah now, right? You read the Mishnah, you think the Pashup Shad is, if I don't learn Torah now, when am I going to learn Torah? Im lo achshav emasai, right? What makes later better than now to learn Torah? The Chiddush Harim says, no, it's much more dramatic than that. This achshav, I could still learn that blot of Gemara in Zvachim in an hour from now, right? But if I don't learn that blot of Gemara right now, then this moment will never have been etched, will never have been charus, will never be carved with that bit of Torah. My life, the linear videotape of my life, recording all the moments of my life, that moment will be blank. That moment won't be as illuminated or purposeful as it could have been. So achshav hazeh emasai, right? This moment, when will it ever be? And the answer is it won't. Shelo yihye lo ha'achshav hazeh od la'olam. This moment in time is unique to this moment. This moment never was and never will be again. Now, however, you know, I encourage healthy practices in Avodas Hashem. Obviously, you have to be reasonable about this, right? You can't make yourself too crazy. You know, you'll think that, like, God forbid, if I ever, you know, relax, God forbid, I'm wasting a moment. Okay, you have to be balanced. Relaxing is also Avodas Hashem. It's also part of. You need to sleep, you need to eat, you need to relax, right? But the moments where I have the opportunity to choose, and the right choice is to choose, and I choose not to choose, so that moment, God forbid, on a certain level is lost. And again, that's the godless of Avram Avinu, as described here in this pasuk. I think it's in Chayesara. But Avraham zokein bo bayomim. that Avram was a person who felt this unbelievable sense of responsibility to the moments of his life. And therefore our job is to try to use the moments. So not only are we charged with the task of using the moments, but our job is to try to illuminate every day of our life. Because the way you spend your time now is going to be your kinyan in this world. Right? Just like the various parts of my body are connected to each other, and they work when they work in tandem, then my body is healthy, and when parts of my body are out of sync with other parts of my body, then it can be dangerous to the body. The same thing is true here. I'm supposed to take the various moments of my life, I string them together, and that becomes my existence. That becomes me, right? And therefore, imagine a person who we would say lived for 20 years. Hachai chof shanim. A person who's 20 years old. Nikra shehu ben chof. We would say he's a 20-year-old. Anyone here 20? Anyone here 20 today? Everyone's older than 20. Guys are getting old. Got to get serious. Kirak al yedei ma sheyesh lo achshav ha'aros shokol elu hachof shanim. Nikra hu ben chof. So if you really lived 20 years of living, so then we would say about such a person, you're truly 20 years old. Aval im kvar nishkach vimenu ezerega. But let's say you only remember, 15 years of your life. Or let's say you only made purposeful 20 days as opposed to 20 years. So how old are you? Be'emes, how much have you lived? How much have you really lived? Rabbi Lau, the former chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, so he brings a mashal in his parish on Pirkei Avos. I think it's called Yachel Yisrael. So in his parish on Pirkei Avos, he brings a mashal. He says a fellow came to a town, and often the cemetery is on the outskirts of the town. So this fellow comes into the town, and as he's entering the town, he's passing alongside the cemetery, and he notices. He looks over and he sees that on the matzevos in the cemetery, like, no one lived a long life in this town. This one lived like 20 years, and this one lived 25 years, and this one lived 16 years, and this one, the oldest person in town was like 33 years. So he walks into the Beis Medrash, and he sees there's all sorts of people in this town. There's young people, there's old people, right? So he says, I don't understand that. I passed by the cemetery on the way into town, and I noticed that, it doesn't look like anyone here lives past the age of 30. And yet I come to the Beis Medrash and I see there, Baruch Hashem, there's Alter Yidden, 70, 80, 90 years old. So they said, in our town, the practice is at the end of a person's life, we write down on their matzeva how many years they lived. And how many years a person lived is determined by how much of their time they spend meaningfully, purposefully. Right? So halavai, we should spend, even a percentage of our life in the right way, right? So it's a very powerful muscle to capture this idea, right? At the end of one's life, how many years did you actually live? How much of the time was spent achieving your purpose in this world? So therefore, says Rabbi Gedalia Yeshur, if a person has forgotten moments of time because they were not meaningful, they didn't make a roshim on him, so then those moments are, so to speak, dead. We can call those moments dead. And those moments have not left a mark on his soul. As ein lo kesher im oso harega. So he doesn't have, he's not mekusher, he's not connected to that moment. And that moment is a dead moment by him. Vic, I'm happy you joined us because you're going to like this shtickle Torah. You're going to like this piece. This is your type of message. So now, let's put the pieces together. We started with the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara said, if we wouldn't have broken the first Luchos, then we never would have forgotten Torah. And we also said that Chazal explained that Charus is a Lashon of Cheirus, that at Har Sinai, we were freed from the Malach HaMavis. What is the connection between forgetting and dying? What is the connection between remembering and living? Explains Rav Gedalia Shor, v'lachein, b'luchos harishonos shayach cheiros v'malach hamaves, The first luchos, which gave us the opportunity to live forever, shelo haya sholit behem misa, lo haya motze behem, inyan shel shechacha gamkin. Now we understand that misa is synonymous with shechacha. The moments of my life that are so purposeful and meaningful, the greatest, most defining moments of my life, I can't forget them. They made a roshim on me. The silly, wasted moments of my life, right, which I forget about because they weren't that important, those moments are dead. So yes, shechacha, underline this line, I guess if you have the sefer. Ki ha-shechacha hu chelek mimisa. Right, shechacha is a portion of death. Forgetting is death. That's why when the Rambam describes tshuva, what is tshuva? Tshuva is a return to Hashem, which is the source of life. So the Rambam famously writes in Hilchos Tshuva that part of the process of tshuva is waking yourself up, right? Because sleep is also a portion of death. The Gemara in Brachos, that sleep is 1/60th of death. Nun Zayin, Brachos Nun Zayin. Couldn't get it. Brachos Nun Zayin. Right? Sleeping is a portion of death. So part of the way we do tshuva is we wake ourselves up, right? Ur yeshena mishen aschem. But then what does the Rambam write after that? Zichru barachem. Remember your creator. Tshuva, as you're begging for life during, Elul and Rosh Hashanah, and anytime we do tshuva, as you're begging Hashem to grant you more life, is about what? Zichira. What do we call Rosh Hashanah? The day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging us. It's a day of what? It's a Yom Zikaron. It's a day of remembering. Because when a person remembers something, that means they're alive, they're connected. Right? When a person is forgetting things, it means those moments, you don't really care about it. You're not present. You're not connected to it. So those moments are called dead moments. Ki ha-shichacha hu chelek mimisa. So forgetfulness, forgetting is a portion of death, as we've explained. And therefore, by the first luchos, we have the opportunity to live forever, to remember. The first luchos, imagine, again, Har Sinai, you're standing at Har Sinai, you're listening to Hashem speak, you're receiving those first luchos, how could it not make such a powerful roshem on a person? Unfortunately, we ruined it with Chet Ha'Egel. Okay. Uv'yaser bir yesh lefarsh. Let's explain a little bit further. Ki inyin shechacha ba michesro and dveikus ba Hashem yisbarach. Forgetfulness, again, comes from a chisar and a lack of attachment to Hashem. Ki ima adam hu davak ba Hashem yisbarach v'hu omi lifnei Hashem. When a person is standing in front of Hashem, right, you can't forget Hashem. When I'm, going about my day and I'm busy with all sorts of things, unfortunately, I forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when I feel that I'm omid lifnei Hashem, so what would be the day that we feel most lifnei Hashem? What day does the Torah call lifnei Hashem? Yom Kippurim, lifnei Hashem titaru, before Hashem you will be purified. What does that mean? That means Yom Kippur, there's this feeling of really being lifnei Hashem. I feel it, right? And Yom Kippur, I feel God's watching. Lifnei Hashem titaru, shi halavai, tilim perek tazayin, halavai, we should always be in the presence of Hashem. But on Yom Kippur, the Torah is confident to declare lifnei Hashem, where we all feel the sense of lifnei Hashem titaru. So when you're in the presence of Hashem, you don't forget Hashem. When you're standing in front of the king, you don't forget, where am I? You know exactly where you are. So therefore, the Svarim explain, Masha Omer B'Seder Tefillah, that which we say in Davening, Ki Ein Shechacha Lefnei Kisei Kvodecha. It doesn't only mean that there's no forgetting before your throne, as if to say, Hashem doesn't forget the things you do. Don't think Hashem's going to overlook your actions. It's not only saying Hashem doesn't forget. But when I stand before Kisei Kvodecha, when I stand before your throne, Hashem, when I feel that I'm in your presence, ain't shecha for me. I don't forget. Ki mishu omei lefnei Kisei Kvodo, ain't bo shechacha klal. And that's why it's so important to picture ourselves standing before Hashem. Because when I'm in the presence of Hashem, I know how to make the right choice. When I think that no one's watching, I make the wrong choice. Ki shechacha ba mitzad ha'esiyashnus shel ha'adam. Forgetfulness comes from what? When something becomes old, when something becomes stale, why is he transitioning to hischadshus as a way of remembering? You'll see. Ki masha haroshem achazak shenir shambo b'shas limudo nevan imenu. However, why do we ever forget our learning? Why are there certain Torah ideas, that you heard 5 years ago and it's crystal clear in your mind? You know, you could say it over. Why are there certain shiurim that you remember? You remember being there. You can close your eyes. You can think about the ideas. You can feel yourself being in the, at that moment, or that time you learned something in a sefer, and it hit you so hard that you feel like you're never, ever, ever going to forget it. And why is it that sometimes, you learned the halacha, or you learned the gemara, or you learned the pasuk in chumash, or you learned the rashi, and like 5 minutes later, you can't even remember what it was. Well, why does that happen? So a lot of it has to do with this yisod. To what degree, right, am I remembering is connected to what? To being alive. Forgetting is connected to death. So how alive was I when I learned the Torah? How much did I allow that Torah to make a roshem upon me? To be carved, like we started, the luchos were etched. How much did I allow that piece of Torah to be etched into me? Again, look at the words. Ki masha haroshem hachazak, shenirsham bo b'shas limudo, nevan mimenu. How is it? How is it that something which should have made a mark on you, a permanent mark, how is it that it got erased? V'nevan mimenu ha'espailas. How did the passion, how did the enthusiasm wear off? Al yedei zehu shocheach oso. Ki em haya etzlo haroshem v'espailas kamo b'shas maisa, v'lo haya nisiyashen, So says Rabbi Gedalia Shor, of course, when things get old, with the passage of time, unfortunately, the thing starts to be forgotten, it starts to die, so to speak, that memory starts to die. Sometimes you have an experience where in the moment I feel like it's going to last forever, I'm never going to forget this, and then with the passage of time, it gets yashin, it gets old, right? It starts to rot, that memory starts to dissipate. Right, the spilus, that impact, that emotional response starts to wear off. So therefore, how do I make sure that I don't forget? All right, if getting old, if hisyashnus is the way that something loses its memory, it loses its life force, so the key is to be in a state of hischachus, to keep it alive, to keep it fresh, to remember it. V'akal yedei ma shechoser atzlo midas hischachus hu balidei shechacha. Right? If you learn Torah with enthusiasm and with fresh kite, so then you don't forget it. But when a person is lazy, and a person is old, and a person is sluggish, and a person's not really present, and you learn Torah like you're half dead, so big chiddush that you're going to forget it, you're not going to remember it. It reminds me of a Chavetz Chaim ala Torah. I meant to grab it before. I don't remember exactly where it is. It's a footnote in the Chavetz Chaim ala Torah. For the sake of time, I'll just share it with you outside. But he writes, in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that describes the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And one of the Talmidim was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. And what does it say about Rabbi Eliezer? If I'm not mistaken, the Lashon of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer was a boor sud or sid, there's different girsos, she'eno ma'abed tipa. What does it mean? A boor is a well or a cistern that is sid that is, or sud that is coated, that is plastered. Right? Why do I put plaster? Why do I apply plaster to the wall of my well? Because I don't want the water to seep out into the earth. If there's a crack in the wall, then the water where I'm, where the rainwater is collecting, right? Let's say, picture a cistern that was used to collect rainwater. If it's not well plastered, so then the water is just going to seep through into the ground. Then I won't have any water left. So Rabbi Eliezer was a bor sud or a bor sid she'eno ma'abed tipa. He was a well plastered cistern that would never lose a drop. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer had this awesome memory, an unbelievable memory. He never forgot anything. He was like the Rav Avadia Yosef of the Tanaim. He mamish knew everything. So what do you think the Chavetz Chaim asks? Chavetz Chaim asks the question, why is that a madrega? Why is not forgetting? I mean, some people have a good memory, some people have a less good memory. Some people have different types of memories. If you were to ask me, do I have a good memory? I would say in certain ways, yes, in certain ways, no. Right? The mind is a complicated thing. So Rabbi Eliezer was born with a photographic memory. So what are we praising him? Well, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he was singing the praises of a Talmid, oh, Rabbi Eliezer, he's mamish, he was born with a brilliant mind, a photographic memory. Why is that a praise? Hashem gave him a good memory. Lucky him. He's blessed. Why is that a maila? So the Chavetz Chaim explains, because as we're learning here, the ability to remember something can be worked on. To the degree that I allow myself to be excited about my learning or my experiences, that's what allows the experience to be impactful, to make a roshem. Rabbi Eliezer learned Torah in such a way of enthusiasm that it made a roshem on him. It wasn't that. It doesn't make sense to praise him that he had a photographic memory. But if he was a person who was so alive with his learning that he never forgot his learning, that's a praise. That means he's connected. Right? That's a person who's in a state of ischadshus. Okay? And the Chafetz Chaim, I think, brings there, he says about himself, or he says about someone, I don't remember. They said there was someone who, I think the Chafetz Chaim writes, maybe he gives that as a mashal, it's like a person, it's like a young person, I think maybe he says he met someone, I don't know, a young person who met the Tsar, right? You know, imagine the Tsar of Russia comes traveling down your street. Imagine they decide to have a presidential parade right down your block. Yeah, and the president comes out and he's shaking hands with everyone, and you're like a little kid, and like you're looking up at the president of the United States of America. Okay, again, I don't know what your feelings are for President Trump, right? But for a little kid, that would be very exciting to see a very important person, you know. And you'll imagine that experience because it's like so novel, it's so new, it's so different, it's so rare and special. You're never going to forget it. The Chafetz Chaim said he remembers meeting someone who told him, "I met the Tsar when I was like 5 years old, and I could picture everything about it. The whole procession, every detail of it. It made such a roshem on me." So the Chafetz Chaim says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, his godless was, not that he had a photographic memory, but that he learned Torah in such a way that it made this awesome, awesome roshem upon him. He could not forget what he learned because it was so powerful to him. Okay? So, ve'esha adam davak ba'amakor, ve'omid lefnei Hashem. So to the degree that I see myself before Hashem, lo shayach klal hisyashnus, then I lift myself above staleness, oldness, forgetfulness, death. Shekaseder hu yoinig chiyus chadash min makor. He draws new chayas, he draws new energy, new life from the source of life itself. Ukamosha omer tzafnas paneach. Now here tzafnas paneach, I assume he's quoting from the tzafnas paneach from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. B'masha kosav kach tzentzenes achas. V'tein shama maloa omer man, take, right, the Pasuk says in Shemos Tez Zayin, take a portion of man and place it lifnei Hashem, l'shmeres l'dor seichem. Take a portion of man, put it in a jar, and place it before the Aron, right, where it's going to mishmeres l'dor seichem, where it's going to remain for generations. A portion of man that was set aside. However, what's the problem with this? The problem is, heyer b'zeh, halo nifsal haman, belina. Right? The man, one of the most basic rules of the man, is that you can't leave it over from one night to the next, from one day to the next. So how could it be that there's a tzivoy, put aside a portion of man, and leave it for generations? Okay, Chavar, I want to pause for just one second. Okay, I don't know, I went upstairs to grab my tzafnas paneach from the rugged shower. I'm still not sure which Tzafnas Paneach he's quoting. I don't know. For the sake of truth, I have to check. I don't think he's quoting this Tzafnas Paneach. It doesn't look like it. Right, Tzafnas Paneach was the Ragged Shavar Gaon, Rav Yosef Rosen. And the Toldos Yaakov Yosef also has a Sefer Tzafnas Paneach. But the footnote from the other day, that's why I'm all confused, because the footnote from the other day I'm almost positive is the Ragged Shavar. And here he's quoting Tzafnas Paneach again, and then he's going to quote it a third time on the next page. So I assume the next two are from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, Tzafnas Paneach. Although, again, I'm not 100% sure. I have to clarify it. Okay, so the question is, how can you take the man and put it in a jar and leave it for generations? Right? The man is Nifsal Belina. He does have a line, he has half a line in here, Kedarko Bekodesh, the Ragged Shavar wrote very shorthand. He says there's no Isrelina, but I'm still not sure that this is the Tzafnas Paneach he's quoting. Either way, the question's a great question. The basic rule by the man is that you can't leave the man overnight. So how did they take this man and save it for future generations? How did Yirmiyahu HaNavi take out the man and show it to future generations? The answer is, where did they keep the man? Chavar, where did they keep the man? The pasuk's clear. Place it lifnei Hashem. They kept it in front of the Aron. Ah, lifnei Hashem. Nothing gets old when it's lifnei Hashem. So the man, which is the paradigm of something which spoils, you know, so quickly, spiritually, obviously. Right? But it gets destroyed, I mean, physically also, but I'm saying as a spiritual food, there was a tzivoy to eat the man one day and not to keep it overnight. But when you place the man lifnei Hashem, then it's eno nifsal balina, it doesn't get spoiled through being left overnight. The gam haya iser lahalin aman, right? You're not allowed to leave over the man. Achmaz birsham ki lifnei Hashem, turn the page, 172. When you're before Hashem, there's no lina. There is no lina, lo shayich lina. Kisham adavar keseder b'schadshus. When you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the ultimate place of Hischadshus. Ve'ein shum musag shalina v'syashus. There's no concept of the passage of time. Hashem is beyond time. There's no concept of getting old. Hashem is always fresh. V'lachein ma'adam davak b'chol ramache v'rav v'shesag yidav v'habor yizbarach. So therefore, if you cling to Hashem with all of your limbs and all of your body parts, Oz who omed lifnei Hashem, then you're lifnei Hashem, v'lo shayach etzlo amusag shel hisyashos, then you stay fresh. Then you're like a Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life, who's running around like a youngster. And the Torah says Moshe has to die because he has to die, period. Not because he's old. Moshe didn't wear glasses, the Chumash says. Right? His eyesight was intact. He had full vigor, he had full strength, because he was lifnei Hashem. V'lachein be'eis matan Torah shayu b'nei Yisrael dveikim bo yisparach, az hayu lemeidim v'lo hayu shaychichim. So beyond the pshat that, it's the intensity of Kabbalah Satorah, obviously being there, hearing Hashem speak, made a roshem. Right? Again, if that guy could remember his encounter with the Russian Tsar as a child, so obviously, you're not going to forget Kabbalah Satorah. But more than that, it's not just that Kabbalah Satorah was wow. It's not the wow factor. Wow, sights and sounds and shofar and lightning. And more than that, the fact that you stood lifnei Hashem at Har Sinai, lemeidim v'lo hayu shochachim, you would learn without forgetting. Because in the presence of Hashem, there is no forgetting. V'chol inyan shel asyashnas ba miseder ateva. It's only when we allow ourselves to be subservient to Teva, like those of us who were learning Maharal last night, right? When we operate within a realm called Teva, then we can get old. When you're Lamalim and Ateva, you're beyond time. You're beyond the rules and the downward pull of this world. As it says, Ki ein kol chadash tachas Hashemesh, there's nothing new beneath the sun, right? Newness doesn't exist beneath the sun in the Olam Ateva. But if you're Lamalim and Ateva, you're always new, right? Aval misha davak v'lamal miseder ateva yesh lo akoach ischadshus ki b'chol rega v'rega yesh tamid chayus Hashem ha'mahava mechadash eskol abriya. When you're connected to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a constant state of renewal. As we say all the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'isim bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly recreating the world. We look at time as linear, marching on, but really in truth, every second, every moment, that's why we blink, that's why our heart is beating, it's a reminder that we take a breath of air, it's that constant recreation of sorts. Umisha davak b'haseder lamala miseder ateva, margish keseder chayis chadasha. He always feels new life. V'yeshas lo keseder inyan shal eschachos. V'lachein b'nei Yisrael, asher hayu oz tachas hanhaga lamala miseder ateva, hayu margishim ischadshus b'habriya b'chol eis v'rega, hayu behem inyan shal ischadshus, v'hayu mishulo mehem kol inyan shal ischashnus. So at Har Sinai we felt fresh, we felt alive, our memory was strong, we didn't forget, we wouldn't die. Unfortunately, Cheira Egel came and ruined the whole thing. I want to just go back to something I said a second ago because I think I just understood a new idea. Right? I told you in the past that part of the reason I think that our hearts beat, and part of the reason that we breathe every second, it's Vayipach Ba'apav, Nishmas Chaim. It's the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, recreating you every second. But I just mentioned, we blink all the time. Why do we blink? How is that this constant thing that we do? Constantly blinking my eyes. Why did Hashem make that? I think I have a pshat. What do you think? Anyone have a pshat? What do you think? Why did Hashem make it? My heart is constantly beating. I'm constantly breathing in and right, inhaling and exhaling. But I'm also, I need to blink all the time. Why do I need to blink? Why dafka the eyes? Anyone have a thought? So if you remember, we once mentioned from a sefer called Or Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak of Radvil. Nani's running a search in the notes. Rav Yitzchak of Radvil, it's in Parshas Vayeshev, I think. Rav Yitzchak of Radvil says that your neshama is in your eyes. Right? He says it on the pasuk when Yehuda is looking for Tamar, and he says, Aye HaKadesha Hi Be'inayim. Right? Where's the prostitute that was down by the crossroad? And he darshens Rav Yitzchak of Radvil, who is the son of Rav Michal Zlotchever, I think. He says that Aye HaKadesha, where is Kedusha? Hi Be'inayim. Einayim means the crossroads. That's the pashup shot in the pasuk. But it also means, Ayeha Kedusha, where is Kedusha found? Kedusha is in your eyes. And your neshama is in your eyes. That's why when a person passes away, we close their eyes. Because the eyes are the window to the neshama. Who remembers his proof? What's his proof that your neshama is in your eye? How do we know that the eye is very spiritual? What's the proof? He brings an interesting proof. Nani, yeah?
Oh, Mesekolos.
That what? No, no. He brings a more simple scientific proof. Max, you remember?
Well, sensitive, like getting dirt in your
right, it's so sensitive. The eye is so sensitive, you get a speck of dirt in your eye and it makes you crazy. It can give you a big headache and you're like, I can't do anything. My eye is making me crazy today. It's bothering me, you know? A little speck of something ends up on your contact lens and your whole day could be shot because of that. When your eye is irritated, it's so sensitive. If I take a little bit of dirt, and I put it on my head. It doesn't bother me. Put a little dirt on my arm. Put a little dirt on my cheek. Even put a little dirt on my lips. I don't love the taste per se, but it's not so, you know, I can be soivel it. A little dirt goes in my ear. It may tickle a little bit, but a little dirt in my eye, my eye has this radical response. Why? Because the eye is so spiritual. The eye is the window of the neshama. My neshama is connected to my eyes, right? Nefesh, ruach, and neshama. My nefesh is in my kaved, in the liver. The ruach level of soul is in the heart, right? And the neshama shebemochi is in my mind. But chever, you know, mind and eye is connected because we put our tefillin where we wear our tefillin between our eyes. So that means, and obviously, on a scientific eye and my brain to be able to produce an image is obviously the connection there is very strong. So therefore, the neshama, the highest part of, you know, of the part of the soul that dwells within me, is found in a certain sense in my eye. And that's why the eye is so sensitive. So maybe, I'm saying all this because maybe you can say that the reason that we blink all the time is part of this, again, this is chachos. The same way I breathe all the time and my heart is beating all the time, these windows to my soul are constantly closing and opening as if to say, I close my eyes for a split second, I open them, and the world has been recreated. My neshama is being recreated. Right? I have to live in a way that my neshama is, again, not just you know, flowing through time in a linear fashion, but every second my neshama is fresh, it's alive, it's new. And by blinking, maybe that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed us to blink. It's our way of constantly refreshing, so to speak, our neshama. Okay, just a thought. Okay, what time is it? It is 11:12. Okay, so you know what? Let's stop here for today. Let's stop here for now, because the next piece is a little bit of a longer piece, and then there's one more short piece. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem on Monday, we'll finish up these pieces.